Welcome into the Who's On podcast, part of the Sabre Podcast Network. Of course, follow the Sabre all year long for all your latest on the Wahoos, from analysis, feature stories, and of course, the message board. And as always, follow and subscribe to the Who's On podcast on Apple or Spotify, wherever you find your podcast. Now, it's the bye week for football, so we're going to take a little break from football and turn our attention to basketball. Men's basketball season fast approaching. We got our first practices underway earlier in the week, and we got the UVA blue-white scrimmage coming up on Saturday at 6 p.m. right after that Boston College football game. So today I am joined by none other than Isaiah Wilkins, one of your assistant coaches for the men's basketball team. Of course, you might know him better as the ACC Defensive Player of the Year in 2018. Isaiah, appreciate you joining me.
Oh, thanks for having me, man. I'm excited. Looking forward to it.
All right. Real quick, just kind of that transition from going from grad assistant to assistant coach. Now, this is your second year as an assistant coach. What was that like for you and just kind of having that opportunity?
I mean, I think it was special. You know, it was special to just be able to come back, really. But, you know, just being assistant at a place where I played with all the guys now, everybody on staff I pretty much played for. It's just really cool for me to be around. And yeah, trying to help, you know, the guys, like some of those guys helped me when I was coming up.
Yeah. Well, you're going into your fourth year now on this staff. What is the first week of practice like for you when the balls roll out, you get a couple more hours with them, you're kind of getting into more of a routine now?
No, I think it's exciting. Like, you know, it's kind of like this constant buildup not a whole lot changes in terms of intensity and that, but, you know, you see them in their practice uniforms and, like you said, a little bit more time, but it's awesome. Like, I remember, yeah, you just remember playing like that first day and the jitters and that, but no, it's been great.
Is it different, like going from like all the workouts and stuff to actually like a full first day of practice?
I mean, I think you got more time, like you said, to teach and break things down and, you know, correct some things. And again, let them play like that. You know, that's kind of how it has to go. But yeah, that time does help. Yeah.
You got a really young team this year. There's only two seniors on the team with Tane Murray and Jalen Worley. How have you kind of seen those dynamics play out? A lot of new players as well.
Yeah. I mean, you know, in today's, you know, age of basketball, the portal and that, it's always, you know, different. You know, got different guys coming into the team. Obviously, you got first years, but, you know, different upperclassmen as well. So, no, I mean, it takes some time. Like, you know, they're adjusting to each other, getting used to, you know, leading and, you know, who says what and who's going to do what. But they've done a really good job. They're a great group and, you know, they're working hard and, you know, they get along well.
It's interesting. You kind of came back into college basketball right when all this NIL and transfer portal was getting going. Just kind of, you didn't have that as a player. So what is that like kind of getting adjusted to it on this end now?
I think it's cool because it's like you said, like that's the only thing I really know coaching wise. It's not like I had to adjust to something new, like a lot of coaches had to. This is kind of, like you said, what I came into. So it's just been, you know, going with, you know, the guys that are on staff and learning and, you know, adapting. That's what you got to do. You got to adapt.
A couple of weeks ago, y'all had a couple former players back too: Malcolm Brogdon, Reese Beekman, Ryan Dunn, Rick Carlisle even. Just kind of what's that like when you get those kind of alumni back around the program?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's special. Like, you know, obviously that's family and that, you know, you spent so much time with a lot of those guys, but it's cool for the guys who are currently playing to see, you know, what the future looks like in terms of, you know, we say we're family. That doesn't mean while you're here, that means, you know, forever. And, you know, and it's a cool experience just for them to see those guys who kind of done it at the highest level and be able to pick their brains. And, you know, we've got guys coming back all the time, like Mamadi's here a lot and Jay and, you know, Kihei and that. So it's like, you know, that stuff is special.
Yeah. Is it unique for you now because these aren't just guys that you played with? There's some of the guys that you coach, like especially with Reese and Ryan.
Yeah, I think it's cool because you just, you know, I would have been around those guys only for a few years, but you just see them grow and you see the relationship that they have with each other. And it makes you think, like, you know, that's how I feel about Jack or Devin and, you know, that type of stuff. Like, it's just cool to see them, you know, interact and be around each other and just talk about what life is like now. It's great.
Well, we got to ask about it. It's, you got your guy back on staff, Kyle Guy, joining the staff. His official title, Athlete Development Mentor, Special Assistant, but obviously he's just Kyle Guy and he's back around the team. What is that like for you? Did you talk to him before kind of he came back on?
Yeah, it was a weekend he came back and we spent some time together. And you just mentioned that he had been thinking about it. For me, it's been amazing just because it's a guy who like I've literally gone to battle with. It's like that's a cool thing, like just to have your teammates back, shared experiences, and we get along well with, around the same age and that stuff. And then for the team, it's been incredible. A person who's done it at the highest level. Somebody you can pick your brain, extremely enthusiastic, like high energy. You don't get better. And then as far as practice goes, you probably won't play a better player, that often. So
I was gonna say UVA, they put out the mic'd up version with Kyle Guy the other day, and it looked like he was going hard after some of these guys. What is he like out there on the court?
I mean, yeah, it's competitive. Like, he's still obviously in playing shape. He's got high energy. He's obviously an amazing player. So yeah, that's what it is. There's a green machine, which is just a scout team, and we try to get after those guys and make it difficult on them, but no, he's great.
What is he like as a coach? Or is it just kind of remind you of him as a player?
Yeah, I don't know. You get older and you change a little bit. He's still the same guy that I play with, but he's super positive, super high energy. It's been nice to have him around just because he sees the game differently, as everybody does. But yeah, I mean, his experience, his playing, being able to explain and teach, I think he's done great. Yeah.
When y'all were players, did you ever think that you would end up in coaching someday?
No, it's funny, Coach O. I think Coach O and maybe a few other guys told me that I would, and I was like, nah, not a shot. But it happens. It's like you love the game, and there was an opportunity there, and I jumped on it just because there's no place obviously like home, and with Coach Bennett and that, it's been fantastic. But I did not think so. I was playing. No.
There's a massive age gap, it seems like, between some of the assistants. You got obviously Jason Williford, Ron Sanchez, Brad Soderberg, or O, as you talked about, and then you and Kyle. Just kind of, how do y'all bridge that gap? And kind of, y'all are kind of the young guys on staff.
Yeah, but we played for these guys, so it's like the relationship was already there.
Yeah.
We joke with them. They take us out when they play golf and stuff like that. They treat us how they treat us as players, which is great. Like, there's no better group for us to be around, just because like the love is there. Like, we spent, well, Kyle did 3 years, I did 4 years, like together. And you're away for some time, but you kind of just pick right back up on that. So.
Who's the best at golf?
There's a big debate about that. I don't know if it's not me. I can tell you that it's not me, but the rest of those guys got a good, healthy debate going.
Who's serious about it?
They all are.
All are.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Any like best driver, best putter, anything like
I can't,
that?
I don't think I'm allowed. If I'm not the best, I can't speak on it. So you got to get one of those guys to tell you. But no, it's fun.
Looking at, I guess, just kind of you and Kyle's dynamic throughout the years, yeah, obviously you both you've had a friendship, and it really seemed like when y'all were in school, and y'all would joke up at the podium when you're coming in for media press conferences and stuff like that. Does that kind of just pick right back up? I'm sure y'all kept in contact throughout the years, but just kind of, does it pick right up?
Yeah, I mean, it's funny because it's like it is just like that time. We're not far apart in the office and that, and obviously Chase is near us in age, so we're just kind of like, yeah, we just kind of hang out, and older now with families and that, and our families hang out. But no, it's been awesome. Yeah, you just kind of pick back up on that stuff, and go.
I was gonna say that the family's got to change the dynamic. Kyle's got he's got kids, and now you're married. Just how does that? I mean, do y'all hang out, like kind of go outside of work and do stuff like that?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, we try to, like I said, we've been golfing, but coming over, hanging out at the house, going out to eat, like stuff that it's a I think it's important to do that outside of the office too. You just because you are friends first before, we were friends before we did both decided to come back, and teammates, and
Yeah.
yeah.
Yeah, and both of y'all were pretty open and talking about kind of like mental health and kind of the challenges with that when you're in school. How has that kind of helped y'all as coaches now to kind of communicate with that with players?
Yeah, I mean, I think it gives us an interesting kind of perspective. We're not, mental health like licensed doctors or anything like that, but you see a guy struggling, you maybe check on him. You've been there, you can kind of share those experiences if it's ever appropriate. But yeah, it is like a unique position for us to be in, just because we've been there, we struggle, we know the pressure, especially him coming back from the 2017-18 season. But yeah, it's just a way that another way for us to try to connect with the guys and just know that we've been in the same spot.
All right. Well, we're going to take a quick break here on the Who's On podcast. We're going to come back, talk a little bit more about kind of the offseason, some of the players, also that schedule coming out. I don't know if you took a peek at it. There's some late games in there. I don't know if that affects
I did not see
some of
that.
these coaches' sleep schedules, but we're going to talk about that when we get back here on the Who's On podcast. All right, welcome back into the Who's On podcast. Of course, we are joined by Isaiah Wilkins, one of the assistant coaches from the UVA men's basketball team, as they get ready to start their season. Just coming up quickly. Let's talk about the offseason. Obviously, the way y'all ended last season, the loss to Colorado State in the NCAA tournament, first four game. How did that kind of inform you guys, or how have you seen guys respond this offseason coming off of that, off that loss?
The guys who are returning really, we really got to work in the spring. We obviously added new guys in that, but that's a hard pill to swallow, to end the season like that. But no, we attacked it, got right back to work when we were able to, and obviously, added some guys to the team, and looking forward to just it's a new year, a new squad, but you try to carry some of that stuff with you.
How much did, I guess, kind of just last season kind of inform when y'all went out as a coaching staff to kind of rebuild this roster? How much did last season kind of inform what y'all direction you wanted to go?
I mean, I don't know how much of the game, but like you lose Reese, you lose Ryan, obviously Jake Jordan, and some guys transfer. Like that there's a lot to replace, especially with the guys who had been here for multiple years. Like that's hard to replace them. And yeah, you just evaluate the roster, kind of figure out what the team needs, and kind of go from there. Those guys are obviously experienced in this area, and yeah, it was just it was quick because it's a quick turnaround, but yeah, we just tried to attack it.
A lot of new names, like you mentioned, transfer wise, Jalen Worley, Elijah Saunders, Day Day Ames, TJ Power, Carter Lang. What was that transfer portal season like? Because that's a lot of names to add in such a short time.
Yeah, I mean, the portal is always a crazy time, because just because it moves really fast. But with most of those guys, I think there may have been a prior connection, when whether it be high school or I guess it was high school, or AAU or something like that. So it's a process, but you never want to compromise on something that you believe in. And we got great guys, great character, and obviously good basketball players, so we're excited about it.
You've obviously, being a coach in this in the ACC, you've been able to see guys like Jalen Worley and TJ Power, and then Carter Lang just played his high school ball down the road. Just what were your impressions of those guys? Because since you had a chance to see them before.
Yeah, I think excited. Jalen, you get a lot of experience. Different system in that, but like he's played in the league, obviously, but you get a lot of experience and some good leadership. And then obviously, TJ, who had visited us before making his decision, was someone that we were excited about. So to land that was big time too. And like you said, Carter, never wasn't allowed to go and watch him play at Stab, but like I'd heard about him, and I'd seen him around and stuff. So yeah, it's just extremely exciting.
With TJ, since obviously y'all were so in on him as a recruit, what do you just remember him about him coming out of high school and kind of why y'all wanted him?
I think just because he was versatile, right? He's got really good size. He's versatile. Obviously, like I said, the character piece checks out in that. But just remember, he's a worker and a guy who wants to win and puts team first. And you don't pass up on that.
I think this offseason, every single recruit that's come through, every single piece that we hear or a little tidbit, we hear about changing up the offense a little bit, adding some more pace. What does that actually look like?
Yeah, I mean, the scrimmages in a week, we'll see what that kind of looks like there. We're never going to be, lightning like that, but we have to play with what makes sense for us. But yeah, we've done a little bit, and then, I guess, yeah, we'll see on Saturday.
Does it feel different from when you played, just kind of going through practices and stuff right now?
Yeah, somewhat. I mean, the game has changed a little bit just in terms of like, I wasn't shooting a bunch of threes and that, and the players that you get, have more ability, maybe some that way. But yeah, I mean, I think so.
Yeah.
A little
'Cause
bit,
I
yeah.
mean, I see these practice clips and you're going up and down the court with these guys. Like,
I'm
is
just
it
trying to
feel
catch up.
I was gonna say, does it feel faster? Do you feel a little more winded?
I mean that, yeah, they're. How do I explain this? Yeah, I think so. I mean, it's not like we're fast breaking the entire time, but in the half court, we're trying to move with good pace and share the ball and, still play the right way, still use our screens and that. But yeah, it's probably, yeah, a little bit more pace, yeah.
I think there's just been a misconception in college basketball lately that, just because it's a slower offense, that means it can't be efficient, which, we've seen in the past with offenses we all had in the past that's not true. You can be efficient with a slower offense. And I mean, you look at UConn, they think they were 308th in the country in pace last year. And, they've won national championships back to back years. So, I mean, it can work as a slower pace offense.
I mean, yeah, they won the national championship with the same, the same thing. It wasn't anything completely different. You just got to take good shots, be a good basketball player, make good plays. It's not, I don't think it's super, paced. Like you said, UConn was there. I don't know how many people actually look up the numbers on that, but yeah, I think you're right there, Eric.
Yeah. Transition to players now. Anyone that has kind of stood out to you just to kind of the gains that they made this offseason? I know you want to say everyone, but you
Yeah, I
gotta
do.
just kidding.
No, I mean, first couple of days of practice is kind of the first time where, we've been able to get up and down, with more, longer playing segments. I think there are a lot of guys who, have come in and had their game in the audience, and the guys who come back who've kind of made jumps. Kind of hard to pick out a few guys. I'm excited for, Jalen, obviously, just because he gives us a different dynamic. With Reese leaving, the point guard spot is going to be big for us. TJ Elijah, the guys who kind of have more experience have kind of picked up on stuff pretty quickly. And, for the guys who haven't played as much or are coming off a red shirt or whatever else, they've done a good job too. It'll be fun because I think we'll need everybody and, we'll have to use our depth.
I was gonna say, I don't need an answer. I just, was looking at it and, hearing people talk and kind of going through it myself. I mean, do you have any clue what that starting lineup's gonna look like on day one?
No, I mean, it's still early, right? We haven't, it's second or third official practice. I think that stuff is earned. And we'll kind of see from there. It's been really good competitive practices. That's the fun thing with the fresh start. Like, there's nothing that's, guaranteed. Kyle's coming back or Devin's coming back. You kind of like, okay, I've been here for 2 or 3 years and, I started last year unless I get in my spot taken. But with a new team, it's like there's a lot of area for, healthy competition. I think it's great.
Yeah. Well, one of the guys that's has started for a couple of years now is Isaac McNealy. How have you seen him take a jump this year and kind of less probably stepping into more of a leadership role as one of the kind of more experienced guys on the team?
Yeah, he's definitely been challenged in that area. He's been challenged to, continue to be aggressive offensively. And, as far as, like you said, minutes and system wise, he has to be one of our better defenders too. So he's going to be asked to, do a lot for us, but he's more than capable. He's had good leadership that he's seen in front of him, and now we're just, yeah, excited for him, excited to see what he can do for us.
What has impressed you, I guess, the most about his development? You've gotten to see it from day one with him.
Yeah, I think, I mean, to come in and have kind of the ability that he has, I think he's taken the weight room seriously. Like he's gotten stronger. He's a great teammate. And you see that, you see that every day. You see that with how he treats the guys, with how he is in practice on that. It's cool to see guys like kind of, like you said, like grow. Like I got to saw I seen I Tame from the beginning, Isaac kind of from the beginning, and just as hard to see him take step by step every year and know that, he's going to be a focal point of a lot of, for a lot of other teams who we play. And yeah, to see him kind of take that challenge head on.
Two guys that you've seen a lot more than anyone else because, they didn't play last year. Their redshirting was Anthony Robinson and Christian Bliss. Just what are those guys like and kind of how is the last year kind of benefited them? I know Christian was injured for a good chunk of it, but kind of how have you seen them grow from that redshirt year?
A lot. I think it's funny when you're in the retro year, you're kind of with the green machine, the scout team and that, but you're doing extra workouts to try to, make sure you're caught up to what we're doing on the other side. But it's a hard thing to do. And it's not like you get to go on the scout team and have a good time and relax, because the scout team is uber competitive, because it's our job to kind of prepare those guys. So they had an intense year, and so I'm excited for them to get a chance to show how much they've grown in that. Obviously, a lot of it is being competitive, honing your skills, working your defense, working your offense. But yeah, those are two guys who are, again, competitive, really want to work, like really want to be better, like want to learn, and I'm excited for them. They'll have their first kind of blue white scrimmage, where I think at this time they may have known they were redshirting, but this will be the first time where it's like, it's real. Like, practices are real now. You're not on the scout team. Like, you're in the mix. You're in the drills. You're being evaluated, and so it's good.
Anthony seems like, I guess, kind of a different type of center than y'all have had in the past, just because he's kind of that long, kind of hoppy, backline defender. Just kind of what do you see from him there?
Yeah, I mean, looking at a guy who has, good frame, strong, really athletic. And so it's just for him learning, like, what's my role going to be, and how do I start in that role? And, you're picking up defensive tricks and figuring out, what works. Like, he hasn't played a game, so he doesn't know how the games are going to be called, how fast it's going to move. It's like those guys are really first years. And so, yeah, it's a learning curve like everybody else, but you've got to be able to take it head on every day and fail, get back up, fail, get back up, and eventually it'll stick.
With Christian, I guess just he came in a year early, so kind of was learning the whole college thing while still kind of growing up and all that. What have you seen from him after coming back from the injury?
Yeah, I mean, that's the same thing. I think he's super, focused and aligned on what he wants to do, and what kind of player he wants to be. And he's gonna, if he can't get it, he's gonna work it until he does. I'm excited for him, just like you said, because he's young, but he did that year, and he'll have a chance to fight and compete. And it's a dream to be able to play. Like, you watch the game all year last year, and you're like, man, I think I could have played that. And so now you get your chance to test that out. It's hard to set out a year, but those guys did a good job.
Yeah, you got two freshmen. It's a small freshman class, but those guys kind of picking things up. Jacob Kofi and Ishan Sharma. We've seen some clips of Ishan hitting the threes. Kofi getting some dunks inside. Just what do you like about those two guys early on?
I think the best thing, I guess the biggest compliment I can say is, like, they fit us, like, they fit who we are, what we want to be about. My favorite thing to, like, think about is, like, if you take guys from kind of different times in Coach Bennett's era, and you just hung out with them and you didn't know them, like, man, these guys are, similar in a lot of ways. And that's how I feel about those two. I'm saying the same words, but competitive,
Yeah.
working, but, like, really trying to fight, because they believe in themselves, and that's how you have to be. Like, you have to have that kind of edge. They're skilled. I'm excited. I'm excited for those two to, see this and see what it's like. They're like, oh, like, what is it like? What is it like? Like, you can't describe what JPJ is like. Like, the fan support, the environment, the intensity, and the same thing on the road. So.
Obviously, you get to bang around with the bigs a lot. Blake Buchanan last year went through his first year. He had a good start and then, some ups and downs as is expected for a freshman. Just how have you seen him kind of respond to that first year, and just kind of where do you think his areas for growth are?
No, I think obviously, you want to put some weight on. That's hard to do. High school, you're in your first year, you're playing a lot. So I know he wanted to attack the weight room, and I think he's done a good job of that. He looks bigger, and I'm sure he's gained some weight. He's one that I get it, because I think that there's a big jump, in there. Like, from your first to your second year, you know what to expect now, and you can kind of go. And you've seen that through the history of, Coach Bennett's time. It's like, I'm excited for him, because he's going to have to take a big jump. Like, he's going to have to now start to mentor, Anthony, Jacob, some of these younger guys, while also making sure that he's in line with what he needs to do and what he needs to be doing. I think he's big for us. I think he's got a great motor. I think he competes extremely hard. Knows who he is, right? Knows his role. Has really gone to work on the finishing and that. But yeah, he's gonna have to be that second year jump is gonna be big for us.
Last player I want to touch on is Andrew Rohde. Kind of a tough learning curve coming from, kind of the lower levels of Division One basketball to going into the ACC. You know how competitive it is out there. Where has he kind of focused his game this offseason to kind of come back and, have a better year two?
I think all around. I mean, I think it's the same thing, like that first year to second year jump, maybe not for college, but for here. You think about like, I mean, it's happened to a bunch of guys, like Armand's first year to his second year. Like you do experience, like, I know exactly what's coming. I know the league, I know the travel, I know what practice is gonna be like, I know what coaches want from me. And you take that and kind of run with it. And I think he has one more year after that, he'll be better then. But no, I mean, he had a great spring, he's had a really good early practice with us, really good leading the team, and unselfish, fits the way we want to play. So yeah, these guys have all gone to work. Like last year, I think showed them kind of what it's going to take, and he's another one who's taken it head on.
We talked about this being such a young team. How much is it just kind of seeing them and laying the foundation right now for these guys to kind of, build that chemistry and, I mean, we always talk about the pack line defense and learning those principles and everything, but kind of building that foundation for, this season and going forward.
I think this is the time. Like it's super intense right now. Like the practices are hard. We're making them do, difficult things. Making them communicate, talk, like get used to that, just because once we start rolling, it's hard to find time to do that. But they've embraced it. They've embraced each other. It's a lot easier, honestly, when you're on a team where you get along the way they get along. And so, yeah, there'll be challenges in that, but I think that they've got that bond and they'll be able to work it out.
We keep mentioning the blue-white scrimmage. Obviously, that's coming up. Do you have any memories or funny stories from past blue-white scrimmages?
Yeah, I think the first blue-white scrimmage was my second year or something like that. It would have been 15, 16. And I didn't, because my first year, I don't think we did it. I think we just, we had people in, but it was kind of like an open practice. But my second year, I think it was the first year of blue white scrimmage, and I didn't. I thought it was like a blue, not blue white, but like a Midnight Madness type thing where you just like an all-star game. Like I thought it was like that, and so I was kind of like I was playing, but I was kind of like not all the way like locked in terms of what I was supposed to be doing. And I think Anthony Gill scored on me like four or five times in a row. But I was like, oh, it's like an all-star game. Like it's not that crazy. I'm going back down. I'm shooting myself. And then I think the next day in practice, we watched the scrimmage and I got lit up and I was like, Like I was like, I did not approach that the right way. I really thought it was an all-star game, but that's not what it is. And so I try to warn these guys now, but that was pretty rough.
Who's
But
the one that let who lights you up after that?
everybody if you're not like competing, like I just was kind of out there. I remember that vividly. The next couple years I got it right, but that first year I was like, I thought it was an all-star game, like somebody's gonna let me dunk and that and we'll show. And no, it wasn't that. So
Who's a guy that you think can kind of surprise some fans in the blue white scrimmage?
I mean, I think if this can get going, like the ability to shoot the ball, is always cool for people to see. But yeah, I think he could get going. Honestly, you'll see the way that we're playing, it's really unselfish. We're moving the ball out, but he'd be one that I'd keep an eye out on just because he can get going.
It's a different, you make a point just kind of moving the ball around. You don't have that de facto all ACC point guard right now and Reese Beekman that you've had the past couple of years. Is that kind of made it different where it's a lot more moving the ball around, kind of sharing the ball?
Yeah, I think we have to try to, adjust for that. Or new, we're still getting used to each other and that. But I mean, that's always kind of been Coach Bennett's way. It's, unselfish plays and sharing the ball, you get it back. Ball has energy, that type of philosophy. So yeah, we just tried to really emphasize it with these guys, just because you are missing that, a guy who you're familiar with. As far as the team goes, our point guards are kind of newer guys, so.
I mentioned it before, the ACC schedule came out. Do you pay attention? Do you look for anything on the schedule when it comes out? Are you like scrolling, like, where's this one game?
No, I always check to see who we play twice. I check to see if we play Georgia Tech at Georgia Tech because I want to see if I'm, going to see family in that. Always like to see who we have for the SEC Challenge, and then see how many. What else do I look at? Oh, and then see who, kind of who senior night is. Those are the kind of things I've always looked at, even as a player.
It's a late senior night. I don't know if you saw that.
Really?
It's
No,
a
I didn't check the time.
Tuesday night at 9 p.m. senior night. I don't remember if y'all have had one of those before. It's usually Saturday afternoon or evening. Like, I don't know if it's been a night game before, so that's kind of interesting. But speaking of night games, y'all got 7 games tipping off at 8 or later, including an 11 o'clock tip off at Cal.
Oh, 11 Eastern time.
Pacific, yeah, 11 Eastern time. You'll be in the West Coast, of course. That's new for the schedule. You know, you got a couple trips out there. I think you have Stanford and Cal back to back.
No, I mean, the new way of the league. It'll be interesting. Like, I think, that'll be a longer trip for us. But yeah, I mean, it's the new way, and we'll have to adjust to it. We had some a lot, I think, a lot of early games last year, so it all changes, and it'll be good.
Yeah. Do you have any, routines for those long flights?
Sleep. I watch the practice before because we pr usually practice before we depart. I watch the practice kind of before the plane leaves. Finish the practice 30 minutes into the flight. I'm gonna be knocked out on that plane. Watching a movie or knocked out.
Who do you usually sit next to? Do you have a go-to person?
No, we our seats are kind of assigned. Who I last year I sat next to across from Johnny Carpenter,
Okay.
and then Chase Coleman was behind me. But man, I'm sure
So it
that'll
might be
all
Kyle now.
yeah, could be Kyle for
Is
sure,
he gonna
for
let
sure.
you sleep? He
He
probably needs
better.
it.
No,
He
no,
needs
no. Yeah, he'll need it.
it.
I don't play by my sleep. They won't mess with me that way.
All right. Well, as I want to thank you so much for coming on the Who's On podcast. It's great having you, and we'll see you at that blue white scrimmage, and good luck this season.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Nice to talk to you.
All right, that's it for this week's Who's On podcast. We'll catch you on later in the week.